Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful and kindle in them the fire of thy love. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So here we are in early July at church, and it's an ordinary Sunday. And I use that word particularly because we're actually in a season of ordinary time. Those of you who have been here for very long know I love the church calendar. Just about every sermon's going to include something about it because it's my spirituality, it's our spirituality. And so all year long, we live with Christ through the seasons of his life and the events of his life. And then you have the great moment of Pentecost where the Spirit is poured out. And we have, following that Sunday, we have the Trinity Sunday, which is the culmination of all of that revelation. And then ordinary time. That's what we're in right now, ordinary time. And it feels kind of like an ordinary weekend and day to me. I know it's the 4th of July weekend, but even that's not really the 4th of July weekend because I got to go to work tomorrow. I'm off Tuesday, but it's just an ordinary weekend. Kids' games, we were building up for that. We were excited. The kids were excited. And we've done that, and now it's done. It's just an ordinary Sunday. We come and we go on our vacations. Half the people I know just got back, and the other half of the people I know are getting ready to leave. And so it feels even a little empty in here this afternoon. It's just another ordinary Sunday. And so the church decided it would be a good moment to talk about something that's very non-ordinary. Because it's a very non-ordinary moment for the disciples. It's actually a very astounding moment for the 12. Because today is the day for them that they are about to go out for the first time as sent apostles. If you read the whole chapter, we've been reading Matthew for a little while now, and if you read all of chapter 10, the entire chapter is this story about Jesus preparing them, giving them kind of a Jesus version of a pep talk. He basically tells them they're about to be persecuted and it's going to be really hard. I'm like, well, thanks, Jesus. But it's also filled with all these moments of hope. Because he says, when those hard moments come, I want you to know my Spirit will give you the words that you need. When even your family members turn against you, you're going to villages where you grew up, and people will turn against you. But I will give you the Spirit of God to give you words. It's interesting. I had a friend who planted a church, and it went very difficult for him. And in the process, they kind of geared up for this big mission, kind of like this, a big mission where they were going to go out and they were going to do all this work and bring in all these people, and it just kind of fizzled, like people didn't really come in. And then the people in the group started feeling the frustration of perceived failure. And they kind of turned on my friend a little bit, and they gave him a really hard time. And the whole thing didn't make it. And I was talking to him about it afterwards, and he said, you know, I know that ministry involves suffering. It does. He goes, but I'd like to think it wouldn't come from God's people. And I was like, but isn't that what happened to Jesus? Right? It was his people that gave him the hard time. And so Jesus promises them this word of hope. I'll give you the words. That's one of my, as a preacher, that is one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible. That God will give the words. And so you have this passage where Jesus is sending them out on this mission. And it is for the disciples their first moment where they are bearing witness to the coming of the kingdom. They are bearing witness. And it's a big moment for us because it is the first moment where the word witness is tied with the word cross. And it happens right in our passage today. Jesus says, as he's talked to them about what's going to happen with neighbors, and he says, and family turning against one another and against you, and he says, whoever does not take up his cross and follow is not worthy of me. In their witness, it is now tied to their taking part in the cross. In fact, if you go back, the word witness comes up in Matthew 10:18, and this is what Jesus says. He says, you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and before the Gentiles. But here's the key word. Ready? The word witness, I hate when preachers like hit you with Greek, but I'm going to hit you with Greek. The word witness in Greek is the same word that we get the word martyr in English. So in Jesus' day, if you go to try, if you're an eyewitness to something and you show up as the witness, you're the martyreo, or you give martyrdom. Like that's, you're just telling what you saw. And so it didn't really mean death for the faith at this point. It just meant sharing a witness, saying what you saw, saying what you know. And Jesus ties their witness to the cross and taking part in his death. And so from a very early time, the early church's greatest heroes are martyrs. It's interesting, you know, we think about the great heroes of the faith, I don't know, in our modern times, and there are people like Billy Graham, and I'm not disparaging Billy Graham at all. Like, that guy's going to be so much closer to Jesus in the last day than me that, like, I'll be happy to polish his shoes. But that's what we think of. But in the early church, it wasn't the great preachers that were the heroes. It wasn't the great evangelists who were the biggest heroes. It wasn't the bishops, the priests, and the deacons who were the greatest heroes. In the early church, it was the martyrs, followed closely by the confessors. The confessors are people who didn't die for the faith, but they went to jail for it. Maybe they were tortured for it. And those people in the early church were so honored. They were the heroes of the faith because in their life, they went the nth degree in bearing witness. They shared in the cross up to the point of their death. And centuries later, when the church kind of was established and nobody was getting fed to lions anymore, nobody got burned at the stake. Well, that came later. Nobody got fed to lions or crucified any longer. And it made in the church this kind of angsty moment. We don't have any heroes now. I mean, we've got the heroes from the past, but nobody's being martyred. And there was a man named St. Gregory the Great. He lived around 600. And he said, do you know, folks, there's more than one way to be martyred. And so he put them with colors. It's very symbolic, and I really actually like this, and I think it's extremely biblical, some of it, most of it. You'll see what I mean. He said there is red martyrdom. Red martyrdom is blood, right? That's what we think of. You die for the faith, and you become a martyr because your death signifies and testifies and bears witness to what Christ did for the world. He died to bring us blessings. And so now the red martyr is the person who has come forward and offered up their whole life to the point of death so that you could understand what it is that Jesus did for you. Jesus is the first red martyr. Does that make sense? So that's Gregory's thought. The second was, he called them white martyrs, and white martyr would be the monastics. So people who gave up all the blessings, the wealth, and things like that, and they would go into a monastery or into the hermits, and they would pray for the world and devote themselves just to prayer. So that would be the white martyrs. And then, this is the one that I think is so important. So I hope you're listening. And then there are the green martyrs. When I hear green, I think life. And I think trees blooming and growing and providing shade. Like it's a thing of life, not death. Green martyrs. Green martyrdom is the act of Christian living that we are all called to every day, all the time, where we die to self and live to Christ. We live to God. It is exactly what the Apostle Paul describes. He says, don't you know when you were baptized into Jesus, and you were baptized into his death? Jesus' death becomes your death. You are, by grace, already martyrs. And then he says, and if you were baptized into his death, if you partake, if you're united to his death, you will be united to his resurrection as well. We are all called to be martyrs. And so when it comes down to it, this is the perfect Sunday, on ordinary Sunday and an ordinary July, for this message. Because while it was a big moment for the apostles, it's not a big moment for any of the rest of us. It's just our lives. It's just our lives. So I'd like to ask you today, what would it look like to be a green martyr this week? I don't know where each of you is going to go this week. Vacation, office, stick around at home for a staycation. I don't know. It doesn't really matter, because wherever we go, we're united to his death. And so, what would it look like in our office place or our classrooms if we walked into that room thinking about those other people there and thought to ourselves, you know, if God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and I'm going to partake in that now. So we walk into our office, down the line of cubicles, through the line of desks, or however they arrange your classroom now. And you look at those people, some of whom you like and some of whom bug the living daylights out of you, maybe, right? What would it look like to say, Jesus, today, will you offer yourself up for them through me? That's what martyrdom looks like. What would our families look like with martyrdom? As we as parents look to our children and say, I will offer up my entire life for this kid. And in some regards, that's the easy one, because kids, there are kids. They're a part of us. But in the day-to-day life, it can be kind of tough, can't it? And kids, I know sometimes you think we're nuts. Parents are boring and crazy, and we say just uncool things. Some of you are smiling at me. I can tell you're listening. What would it be like, kids, to look to your mom and dad and say, Jesus, I would like you to bless them through me, and I will make the effort. I'll do something special, even if it's hard. Mom, I'll wash the dishes for you without you asking. Dad, I'll mow the lawn. That one's my personal favorite. Dad, I'll mow the lawn. Or maybe just, hey, I'd like to give you a hug today. What would it look like in Church of the Redeemer for us to be green martyrs in all of our conversations? What would it look like to be green martyrs in our mission to the world around us? so that people would see in us and that Christ would, through us, reconcile the world by his blood and gift of self. That is what it means to be a martyr. It is what it means to be a martyr. And so, Church of the Redeemer, on this very ordinary day, I want to invite you into a very ordinary Christian spiritual discipline, and that is simply to be very deliberate this week about practicing your martyrdom. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.